To promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures, and a third, my signs. Now my roses aren't red, my violets aren't blue, my geraniums look dead, and I don't know what to do.
Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a true reflection of your company. And now at Staples, spend $50 or more on print and marketing services and get $5 off your next in-store purchase.
Now my business is blossoming and I'm spending less green.
Exclusions apply. In-store only. Ends 6/23/18.
Welcome to the Tour Junkies Fantasy Golf Podcast, presented by 18 Birdies, the number one golf app in the App Store. Download it today. This is our preview for the Fort Worth Invitational from Colonial. Let's get it going. What's up, golf addicts? Thanks for downloading the Tour Junkies Podcast. Pat and I are here to break down the Fort Worth Invitational from Colonial. It's a wonderful golf tournament. We're going to give you everything you need to know, including a great course breakdown, I might add. All the key stats, the strategy, the plays that we like, the plays that we don't like, and just some good old conversation about golf. That's what we're here for. We're also here to bring you a little bit of entertainment. So tonight we're going to talk about Lucas Glover and his crazy wife. That's a good one. A lot of bleeps in this one. And then we're also going to talk to you about Pat's son and his poor, poor, ignorant son. That's what we're going to talk about. So you want to stand by for that. As always, the podcast is brought to you by our friends at 18 Birdies. Here's what I love about 18 Birdies myself when I'm playing real golf. Every course in the country you can find on 18 Birdies. If you can't, there's a problem. You just shouldn't be playing it. It'll tell you your yardage. It's got a great GPS feature, but you can keep track of your fairways hit, your greens in regulation, your putts, your up and downs, your sand saves. All that good stuff is easily tracked very quickly during the round in the 18 Birdies app, so that then you can go back and really figure out where your game needs to improve. Go and download it today. If you use promo code TOURJUNKIES, you get one free year of premium access on 18 Birdies. That's one free year of premium access with promo code TOURJUNKIES. So go check it out in the App Store and all over the place. There you go. Enjoy the podcast. May your screens be green. Thanks for downloading. Here is the Fort Worth Invitational from Colonial. What's going on, golf addicts? The Tour Junkies coming at you. It's your boy DB. I got Pat Perry waiting. We are fired up for the Fort Worth non-sponsored invitational from Colonial, one of the longest running golf tournaments ever. Pat, how's it going, buddy?
I am good, man. Were
you there for the first tournament at Colonial?
No, I was not. I appreciate you. I'm not that old, man. Come on.
Hey, before we get to Colonial, we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Byron Nelson recap. Aaron Wise. There's so many Wise jokes going around the internet. I could kill somebody. So we're not going to do that. But the 21-year-old University of Oregon product, California kid, just absolutely... I mean, he just looked really good, man. Like, he looked really, really good. He's had some good events this year. Obviously finished second to Jason Day at the Wells Fargo a couple of weeks ago. But, I mean, Aaron Wise on Sunday, I mean, I watched most of it on Sunday. He just looked so in control, calm, cool, and collected. I mean, there's not enough that can be said these days about some of these young guns and just coming out ready to win early. And Aaron Wise... I mean, I think finishing runner-up a couple weeks ago, he probably drew on some of that to close out the deal and kind of have that feeling that he had late on Sunday to keep off Mark Leishman. But, I mean, the kid just looked stone cold and played some really good golf.
He really did. I was kind of surprised, although we could see this coming at the Wells Fargo just a few weeks ago. But, yeah, I mean, the kid was just absolutely stunned. I mean, just did not really seem to let anything bother him down the stretch. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you saw his interview after, which there's a few funny things about that, but we can go back to that later maybe. But he did say he felt more nervous on Saturday than
yeah,
he did
I saw,
on
I
Sunday.
Heard him say that. Yeah.
So, you know, he just looked comfortable out there. I mean, he's definitely a talent that we're going to see win multiple times out here. Definitely going to contend for majors. Good for him, though, and I'm with you on these wise jokes that are out there. They're a little bit annoying. Remember when I used to say weather wise all the time whenever I did that?
Oh, yeah, I do. You used to say that all the time before every weather break, which now we spare everyone from the weather breakdown on Monday.
The weather wise.
But you used to be like, well, weather wise, blah, 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 wise. It was all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like how you say again all the time now. And what's the other thing that we said that you say all the time? We talked about it last week, I think. Not on the show, but I can't remember. Anyway, lots of wisecracks out there about Aaron Wise winning. We were not really on him. I mean, honestly, I didn't really have a lot of exposure to him. I wasn't, like, against him, but I just didn't have a lot of him. So, had a lot of Leishman, a lot of Jimmy Walker, a lot of Rory Sabatini, a lot of Keith Mitchell. I had a lot of Kevin Na. I know our chalk bomb was not it was Kevin Na, so that didn't work out very well. But we had 26 players that we picked in the podcast. 8 missed the cut, 6 finished in the top 10, and 9 finished in the top 25. It was a fun tournament. Trinity Forest, you know, the verdict's out. I mean, you didn't get the wind that we would typically get. Had a little rain to soften things up a bit. I think it could have played a lot more difficult than it did, but these guys really went to town on the weekend on Trinity Forest. But looks like an interesting golf course. I think you give it a couple years and see what happens. You know, I'm not gonna knock it too hard. So, I mean, I think strategy wise, I think we did okay. Like we talked about
strategy wise.
I talked about fading the top tier, and I really think that would have paid off. I mean, Jordan Spieth is the highest owned golfer, finishing what he finished, like 17th or 21st or something. I don't really think that helps you a whole lot. I was shocked to see Hideki play as well as he did, but I mean, finished in T21, $9,900. I don't really know it's worth it. Kuchar obviously trunk slammed. Garcia trunk slammed. I think it was the right play to go in that mid-tier $9,000, $8,000 range and stack up on those guys.
I agree, and I went opposite. If you remember, I'm sure you do on the show, I was kind of big on the studs and duds, and that just did not work at all. I had a decent amount of Sergio. Definitely had some Spieth in there, a little bit of Hideki, who came around for me, which was good. But I really, when I was looking down at the bottom guys, when I was setting my lineups, That killed me. Aaron Badds was, you know, Baddeley
did hurt me. Yep. I had a good bit of him.
But, you know, you live and learn.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. Forget the results of Byron Nelson. Story of the week is easily Luke Glover's losing and his wife going a on him. Holy moly. Was that... That's incredible. Like, by now, I think that story came out Monday. Or Tuesday. Did it come out Tuesday? I think it came out Tuesday.
It was after the pod, because if it had come out Monday,
after the podcast, we couldn't talk about it. We've been dying to talk about it all week. But by now, I'm sure everyone has read about Lucas Glover and his wife being arrested in front of their children after assaulting him and her mother-in-law. All that got started because of Lucas's MDF at the Players' Championship, which apparently is a repeated thing that Mrs. Glover kind of loses her cool on Lucas when he misses a cut or doesn't play well. And, I mean, the cops were called. The police officer even handed Lucas Glover a pamphlet on domestic violence and abuse.
I'm not laughing about abuse, by the way.
Resisted arrest, like wrapping her legs around the car door of the cop car, trying to get like crazy stuff. I got so wrapped up in it on Tuesday reading about it. Unbelievable stuff. Like, unbelievable. And
where's the dash cam on this, by the way?
We need some dash cam. I can't even believe it says a lot about Lucas that he has not retaliated on this chick, which I guess we don't know that he hasn't, but it feels like he hasn't. But it says a lot. Like, if you were getting, I know, just as a man in general, no matter what you do for work, you want to be appreciated, you want to be respected, you want to be, you know, you just want to be, you know, appreciated for the work that you do day in and day out to provide for your family, whether you make 20 grand a year or like Lucas, you've made 20 million in your lifetime, you just want to be appreciated. And to come home to a woman that does what this chick does every time Lucas plays poorly and not eventually lose your cool. It says a lot about Lucas Glover, a whole lot about like props to him for not losing it on her.
I just can't even imagine. Like, I mean, now we know on some of these putts that he misses, I mean, he's got to have some nerves in there. But can you imagine like coming home from work and your wife is like my wife, and you know, I work in banking. You son of a I can't believe you didn't land that loan deal today. You are such a freaking
and Cindy called me and she said you didn't earn her daddy's loan at the plant. You're such a loser.
and then for you, David, I mean, you come home and how did you not land that software deal?
Yeah.
You son
What do you mean you got beat out by Rate, you you son of a I mean, God bless us. Maybe she's playing DraftKings on the side and she's seen Lucas Glover. Maybe she follows him on Shot Tracker and he's hitting it to like, you know, 6 feet, and she's thinking next thing she's gonna see is you know, shot three in the hole for a birdie, and then she sees shot four in the hole and she's losing her over that. She's losing it. Or even worse, Shot Tracker, as we know, is so fallible that I'm sure Lucas probably walks in the door at some point. She's like, she's probably waiting in the door, arms crossed, toe tapping. Hey, what happened on number seven today? What happened on number seven with that three putt from 11 feet? A three putt from 11 feet? Are you serious, Lucas?
How about?
And he's like, honey, it wasn't 11 feet. It was like 60 feet. My first putt ended up at 11 feet, and then I missed the 11 footer. That's not what Shot Tracker said, you. You know,
and then a hole number nine, you were on a par five, you hit a 320-yard drive, you were only 220 out, and it said you hit it 0 inches. What the
did you miss the ball, you loser?
God, Shot Tracker, you know that, I mean, he probably wants to sue Shot Tracker.
Oh, man.
You've already got me.
Yeah. Mm. He's probably sliding some stew on the side of the people that man the shot tracking the devices, just so they make him look good. So when he gets home, he doesn't get his beat. Freaking A. Oh man, that was hilarious. Oh, one more funny thing that happened. It actually just happened very recently today, and that is. I'm at work, and I get this notification that Harrison Perry just subscribed to our YouTube channel, and I'm like, oh, that's nice, old Harrison. That's Pat's son. How old is he? 10?
He's 10.
He's yes. 10. Pat's 10-year-old son subscribed to our YouTube channel, and then next thing I get is Harrison Perry commented on your YouTube video. And I'm like, what did he comment? And it's on a video that I posted last year for your 40th birthday. I took a video of my son, Collins, who at the time was 6. He loves Pat. He thinks Pat's funny, and he's his uncle Pat and all this stuff. So I told Collins to send Pat a birthday message. And Harrison got on there today and found this video. And I can imagine him sitting in front of the screen going, what? You know, he's like, a la Lucas Glover's wife. He's like, what? What's going on here? How come I'm not on the video? And he comments on the video and says, why can't I be in one of these videos? I'm Pat's son! ! Like, I don't know if he just thinks that YouTube took this video and posted it, or like, I'm shocked he hasn't gone to you yet. Like, did he meet you at the door this morning? But I wanted to be like, son, this poor, poor, poor boy who just doesn't realize that his father tweeted this is more likely to give birth than successfully upload a YouTube video and post it on our channel. So that's why he's not in any of the videos. If he were my son, he'd be all over him. But this poor child who is more technologically advanced than his own father is still living in blissful ignorance that his father just can't produce the YouTube video.
I literally, like, as soon as I got home, because you texted me like as I was like driving home from work, I walked straight upstairs. He was on his iPad, and I was like, son, listen here. There's a lot of good reasons why you're not in these videos, and I will work hard to make sure that you can get into some of these videos and I can learn how to do this. So I felt bad, and then but you know, he's a good kid most of the time.
Oh man, that is
I think we've already
stuff.
Cussed more on this podcast than we have in like the history of our.
That's true. We have, but we said we were going to do that tonight.
Yeah, we did.
And we're bleeping it out. So, but all right, no more, because then that just adds more work for me. No more. Is that cool?
Yeah, we can stop now.
Okay. We are giving away, Pat. We're giving away, giving it freely. We're giving away a Pod Bros T-shirt, an incredible badass. All right, that's the last one. Golby. Ball marker. Listen. All right. We need to pause in the podcast right now. A little PSA. Okay. PSA. If you guys play real golf, whether you're a beginner, you've been playing for a little bit, you're a longtime player. If you play real golf, I'm going to help you out right now. I'm not trying to make fun of you. It may sound like that, but I just want to help you out. If you play golf and you mark your ball with a poker chip. Exactly. See, even Pat doesn't mark his ball with a poker chip. If you mark your ball with a poker chip, there you have to stop. You just have to. It's like wearing a club brush on your belt or something. Like, poker chip ball markers are the most cliche, overdone, overcooked, dumb ball marking device ever.
We've all tried it, by the way.
At some point, I've used it.
I'm admitting that, but you know, I got over it.
At some point you learn, you grow up, you realize, you know, I mean, we've all done a lot of things, right? But marking your ball with a poker chip is not good. So if that's you, then you have no excuse to not participate in this next giveaway. If you have a friend that does that, direct them to the podcast, and particularly this point of the podcast. We are giving away a Pod Bros T-shirt, okay? Which is a hilarious, it's a great t-shirt. It's on the website. You can go look it up. Pod Bros t-shirt. It's all of our friends and their nicknames that have been on the show. We did it a year or so ago. It's a fun t-shirt. We're giving away that, a ball marker, and a couple of stickers to the first, we got 20 more, to the first 20 people listening to this podcast that have not already, I'm sorry people, that have not already set up an account with mybookie.ag. If you go and create an account and do your minimum deposit, it's like $45. It's a safe transaction. It's very simple. Just put a credit card on there. It's easy. Bank debit card's not going to work. But if you go do that and you set up your account and then you email us info@tourjunkies.com, your new MyBookie account number, your t-shirt size, and your address, we will send all that to you for free. So it's really like you're getting like $30 worth of TJ swag for only spending $45 in my bookie, and you may win that back, and it may make you a thousandaire. You know, like you could be winning G's.
Yeah,
and it's all this is free.
Yeah, and let's just—I mean, again, these freak. I said again. You know what? These ball markers though are just incredible. I love them. The Pod Bros shirt I think is just way underrated. Don't you think, David? It's an underrated shirt.
Yes, very underrated.
Also underpurchased,
but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a good deal for sure.
It's a good deal. Yeah. And MyBookie, it's safe. We've both withdrawn from it. We've both deposited a couple times. You got to have a couple books to shop and look at. And there you go. And now that sports betting is finally legalized, that's why we're doing this. We're celebrating the legalization of sports betting coming to the US of A. Gosh darn it. I'm an American, and I want to blow my money on sports. And now I can do it freely. So you might as well go to mybookie.ag. And listen, the most important thing is when you sign up, you got to use promo code TOURJUNKIES. It's very easy, all one word, promo code TOURJUNKIES. And not only do you get the ball marker, the t-shirt, and the stickers, but you also get a 50% deposit bonus as you play. It's super easy. It's a no-brainer. Just do it. All right, and then email us info@tourjunkies.com with your MyBookie account number, your t-shirt size, and your address. There you go. First 20, next 20, we'll do that for. Let's make Pat busy shipping stuff.
I will be getting it out as quick as I can. Now, we do have to get confirmation, right, on the back end. So
take it
once we...
Yeah, take it till the end of the month. Yep.
Yeah.
Another real quick announcement. We talked about the new hat or the hats. They're going to be restocked. The white Golby hat sold out on the website, so we're getting a restock of that. That will be here in the next couple of weeks. But also, we announced on Twitter last week, for all those of you who in the last 3 years, since we started doing this whole thing, you have begged for, pleaded for, a visor. We are now getting a visor, two visors, to the TJ shop. And they should be here within the next few weeks. It's a white visor with Golby on the front and a green visor with Golby on the front. And they're the pro model, high whatever, wide brim, like frat boy visors. So if you like those are on the way. We're really excited about those. And I know, Pat, you're excited about those. You wanted those for a long time.
I have. I've wanted more polos and more visors or a visor. And I'm excited about it. I've had a lot of folks that have come up to me and saying, when are you going to get a visor in the store? Well, guess what? We got it coming. They look sharp. I'm excited about it. So, I can't wait to get them in there.
You know what goes really well with a nice classic visor?
What's that?
A really nice high test cigar, Pat. And we know just the folks to bring that to you. We talked about them last week. If you guys hadn't taken advantage, you need to. Got a little bit more time to do so. Good Cigar has now partnered with Tour Junkies. They're going to be your personal tobacconist. We used that word last week. I've enjoyed using it all week, Pat. Tobacconist. So you can celebrate when the occasion hits. It's good for golf trips, weddings, bachelor parties. And obviously, it's graduation season. It's Father's Day coming up. We talked about it last week. Get your 17, 18-year-old son a nice, healthy cigar and celebrate. Sit out on the back patio with him. Talk to him about being a man. The next phases of his life as he goes off to college. Share that time with him with a really nice cigar pack from Good Cigar. And it's not intimidating. It's not confusing. They make it really simple. You pick your strength, and they send you the top shelf cigars at a great price. Okay, it comes with a humidor pack, so you can leave it in the pack for months, and it'll stay fresh. It comes with a cutter. It comes with instructions, so you're not embarrassed, and so you can teach your boy the ways of the land. Right? Our forefathers have been doing this for decades. Right, Pat? I mean, they were doing this on the Mayflower. I'm sure they were doing this. They didn't have Good Cigar.
Yeah, I really love the humidor thing. I mean, that's the thing that, you got to keep them fresh. And here, for me, we got Memorial Day coming up. I love to grill
out.
Be out
on the boat, too, maybe?
Yes. I'm going to take that cigar, and I've got a little medium strength one that I'm going to...
Yeah.
I'm not going to go high test, because when you're on the boat...
A little mid-action.
You don't want to... Yeah, a little mid-action.
Yeah.
So that's going to be me on Memorial Day, coming up this Monday. Can't wait.
All you got to do is go to goodcigar.co. That's goodcigar.co, okay? That's the hipster.com, but it's not .com.
Drop the M.
Yep.
Yeah.
Goodcigar.co. And use promo code TOURJUNKIES. That's our go-to promo code. You could just about, in a few years, you'll be able to go just about any website and put in TOURJUNKIES as a promo code. You might get something. You just might get lucky. So you put in promo code TOURJUNKIES. They're going to give you 10% off any subscription that you set up for. You know, it's a really nice thing to do, especially for dad or graduates. You know, hey, maybe even your daughter. Maybe she likes to do that. So you can try.
You never know.
You never know. Yeah. All right, Pat. I think it is time to get to the down and dirty of the Fort Worth and Colonial, which is a beautiful golf course, a classic golf course, an old-fashioned golf course. And it's the last stop in Texas for the 2017-2018 PGA Tour season. We need to know about it, Pat. We need you to tell us about the golf course and what it's going to take to play well.
Well, as you said, we are at Colonial Country Club for the Fort Worth Invitational. This is an awesome course. I love when we get on these classic courses. It has been a staple on tour since 1946. It is the second longest uninterrupted tenure outside of Augusta National. This is the complete opposite, by the way, of last week, where we get a course that's never been played and it's only about 3 years old. This is not a young course. It's incredibly old, but it's a good course. 7,209 yards. It's a par 70. This typically plays as one of the tougher courses on tour. Last year, it was the seventh toughest. I do think weather can play a factor, though, when it comes to that. It's also historically yielded lower than the tour average as far as birdies and eagles. So I think scoring will be, you know, a little bit tough to come by. It may be a little bit easier, though, because I'm seeing some benign weather conditions. It's extremely tight, tree-lined fairways. The rough isn't too bad, but you got to keep the ball in the fairways. I do think players will club down a decent amount this week. You know, because bombing really is not a necessity unless you're Jon Rahm, who I don't know if you remember this. Last year, he just said he just bombed it over the trees and really didn't care about anything else. But other than him, I do think you can club down, but you got to hit these fairways. There's several dog legs, actually 11 to be exact. Seven of them favor kind of a left to right ball flight, including the only par five on this course, which is reachable. Which is the first hole, and that is also kind of that left-to-right ball flight dog leg. So I do like the guys that are comfortable working the ball, whether it's even right-to-left, left-to-right. And Jon Rahm is actually one of those guys that has said he loves that left-to-right ball flight. You got Bermuda grass from tee to green, and then bent grass on the greens. And it typically, you know, plays, you know, the greens roll true. You got average speeds. I don't think they're going to be incredibly quick. These are very small greens, though, some of the smallest on tour. As far as looking at the holes in general, I mentioned there's you know, there's two par fives. One is reachable, playing 565, and then hole 11 is 635, so I don't think that's one that they're going to be going after. You got four par threes. Three of those four are playing 190 to 200 yards, and then there's also a 250-yard par three. Perfect driver for me. I mean, I could lay that thing soft with that little cut on there. But anyway, 12 par fours, the longest is playing 485. The shortest is 387. For me, looking at stats, course history, we get to talk about that again this week. I think that is important, and one of the I will weigh it a decent amount. I think if you look over time on this course, course history is definitely a factor. Looking at recent form, also fairways gained or driving accuracy, strokes gained approach, strokes gained around the green, ball striking is very important here, and then proximity. A couple of statistical notes that I came up with. Kiz led the field last year in fairways hit. He was second in greens in regulation and second in strokes gained around the green. And of the top 15 last year, 11 were in the top or were in the top 20 in fairways hit. And those that did not do so well hitting fairways that were up in that top 20, they made up for it around the greens and putting. Looking at past champs, we had Kiz last year in 2017, Jordan Spieth in 2016. He has a ridiculous course history here, by the way. Chris Kirk in 2015, Adam Scott in 14, and Boo Weekly in 2013. I think that's important to note because he's always known as a great ball striker, and that's something that I'm definitely going to be looking at. We're not going to talk about weather, but I do think, as always, check back with us on Wednesday, whether it's in the RotoGrinders chat room or on our Twitter feed, because weather can be a big factor on this course. But I right now, I don't think it's going to be huge. So there you go.
Wow, Pat, that was probably one of your better course breakdowns in the last few weeks. You've kind of been you've been a little lackluster, if you ask me.
I appreciate that, and I tried to bring the heat this time.
I'm all about the honest feedback. You know what I mean? But I think you said a couple key things there. Number one, you just mentioned weather. Hey, you know, last week, the PM-AM draw had a stroke and a half better, you know, 36 holes on Thursday and Friday than the AM-PM draw. That's really tough to know or tough to predict or feel confident about when we record this show on Monday nights. So if you are someone who, you know, maybe you're not just like super dialed into this DFS thing, but you're getting into it kind of casually, you need to be tracking us on Twitter, and you need to be subscribing to the Chalk Bomb on Wednesday nights. And if you can join us in the chat room, that's great. But that makes a big difference. And last week was a great example of that. You had a lot of guys who I think were in good form, who played good rounds on Thursday in the morning, but then got hit with the windier condition Friday afternoon and a drier, faster golf course, and they paid the price. So it can make a difference, especially out here in Texas when winds can play a factor. It doesn't look like, as you mentioned, it's going to be too windy. So I think scores will be better this week than they were last year for this golf tournament. But you definitely want to keep an eye out on Wednesday. That is for sure. So a lot can change there. And I'm glad you mentioned the John Rahm thing, because you look over time and historically, it does appear that like guys who can just get it, keep it in the fairway, they don't have to have a lot of length. Those guys, I think it does tend to work for them. However, I think Rahm did show last year, thinking outside the box here and taking certain lines. He likes to play a cut. We know Rahm likes to play a cut. And you mentioned how many of these holes suit a guy who can fade the ball off the tee. If it just fits his eye and he can rip away at it and he feels confident, a bomber can obviously do well. So I for that reason, I kind of looked at strokes gained off the tee. You looked at fairways gained. You went more accuracy. I went strokes gained off the tee because I can pick out the guys who are gaining all those strokes because of distance versus those who are gaining all those strokes because of accuracy, and then those in the middle. I agree that strokes gained approach is extremely important, and strokes gained around the green. These are small greens. The iron play is critical. Anytime you got small greens, you got to be able to chip the ball and get it up and down. And as you mentioned, some of the guys that finished near the top had to chip their way around when they missed these greens. So I think that's important. You got bent grass surfaces, which we don't see a ton on the PGA Tour. So I did look a little bit at strokes gained putting on bent over a long period. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. And I think we're ready to go, man. You know, you talked about how big a deal course history is. I mean, Jordan Spieth's course history, as you mentioned, is pretty ridiculous. In the last 5 years, he's had a second, a win, a second, a 14th, and a seventh. He's gained over 55 strokes in the last 5 years. We watched him play at Trinity Forest. The ball striking looked to be there. He had some putting woes yet again, especially Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I watched him on Sunday. It appeared on Sunday he just wasn't getting the breaks. He was just getting a lot of lip outs, and I didn't really see him miss a whole lot of short ones. But I think it's coming to him. But his strokes gained approach numbers are still pretty off the charts, and obviously he feels comfortable here. I'm in on Jordan Spieth. For me in this top tier, I'm reversing my strategy from last week. Last week I went really balanced. This week, I'm going studs and duds. I like Jordan Spieth. I like Justin Rose, who hasn't played this golf course in about 5 or 6 years. And I like Webb Simpson. All three of those guys, I'm willing to pay up here. All three in great form. Obviously, we just saw Webb come off the win. Spieth's trending. Rose is doing okay there. And they're all three strokes gained approach studs. All three okay scramblers. Rose's scrambling's been a little off lately, but those are the three guys I'm going to plant my flag on: is Jordan, Rose, and Simpson. All right, what do you think in the 10K?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to not be on Spieth this week. I mean, the guy's just, he's checking all the boxes. I mean, you just can't avoid him. I think you've got to play him. But I think Rahm is definitely interesting to me. You look at how he played it last year. And one of the things we didn't mention was even on the holes where it was the didn't suit him, where there was a right to left dog leg, he just said, well, I'll just bombed it over the trees anyway and still use my fade. So I think that's a little bit interesting. I think he's a guy that typically likes to just attack courses. This is one where when, you know, you can attack when weather conditions are good, which I think they're going to be. So, you know, coming off second last year, I like some Rahm. I think, you know, and I'm wondering where his ownership is going to be. I'm going to be checking Fanshare Sports come Wednesday, because I think if, you know, he's a lower owned guy in this over 10K range, I really like him then. But I'm with you on Justin Rose. I think he's certainly a great fit. You know, ball striking, he's, you know, checks the box and drafting, scoring. And then Webb is just, how do you avoid Webb right now in any week? I mean, he basically is going to check the box across the board, is playing incredible, putting well, doing everything he needs to do. And, I mean, he's a guy that – he's just I don't know. I mean, I think he could win every single tournament he steps up at right now. And so I think Webb is another one that I certainly will have in a lot of lineups.
I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think this is a great course for him. It's a good track for him. It doesn't reward the distance as strong as other courses do. We know Webb's not long by any means, but the iron play has been, you know, tremendous. He's always been a good scrambler, and now the putter's worked out. So I think you're right. I mean, he's a great play. For me, Rahm and Fowler are two guys who are in the middle of this 150-man field in strokes gained approach over the last 2 weeks. You know, Ricky missed his last cut. Rahm finished in the 60s his last event out at the Players' Championship. For me, you know, as I'm looking for, you can't play all five of these guys, or at least you shouldn't in GPPs. So that's kind of what made it easy for me is my, you know, heaviest weighted stat is strokes gained approach. And those guys are clearly the worst out of this bunch. And then with recent form, I think I'll pass. I mean, obviously, FanshareSports.com is going to have their ownership, and I bet they'll be a little bit lower than the three guys I mentioned, but I'm okay eating the chalk with those top three. But we'll see what Fanshare has them, you know, has them coming in at. You know, come Wednesday night. And that's really when you need to be checking. We love checking Fanshare on Wednesday night. It's one of the last things that we do in setting lineups and in that process. And now they've got it to where you can see, you know, did they pull the data from a tweet, from an article, from a YouTube video, from a podcast? They've got their own original content. They have form guides. They have a course preview. They have the Taking the Pulse article by Logan Harper, something I like reading. He kind of gives you a sense on who's getting talked up and who the popular stacks are for the week and who the pivot plays might be for the week. So it's a must. So if you've not joined FanshareSports.com yet, you need to. The membership is extremely doable. If you actually want to play GPPs and really try to do well on them, I highly recommend the FanshareSports.com product. It's a good one, and they're going to be with the Tour Junkies all year. We're excited about Fanshare, so check it out. Into the 9K range, Pat, you got last week's winner Aaron Wise, Jimmy Walker, Matt Kuchar, Brooks, Adam Scott, and Patrick Cantlay. What are you going to do in the 9K range? Are you going to have any Aaron Wise this week coming off the win? And the friend zone girlfriend, or we don't know if she's a girlfriend or not.
What is she?
We don't know, because she just flat out just cucked him right there in the middle of the whole thing. Anyway, you going to have any of him?
You know, I don't think I am. And that's more just sort of a thing that I just don't tend to take the previous winner from week to week. I mean, if you want to take them, I'm fine with them. I don't see how you could, you know, I can argue against it. Obviously, in great recent form, you know, he had the win last week. He was T2 at Wells Fargo. But I think I'm going to avoid him. I still am going to play some Jimmy Walker, though. I mean, this guy, fourth at the Valero, T2 at the Players' Championship, T6 last week. He's gained 40 strokes on the field in his last four events. The Masters was his worst finish in the last four events, and that's a T20. So I think he's just hard to avoid. Yes, I know he's playing. This is his third straight week playing. We talk about that sometimes, where, you know, these players could get a little bit tired, but I think he's finally back healthy. He's showing that, you know, he can, you know, play week in and week out. He's number one in the field in strokes gained around the green. He's number three in strokes gained approach. Also sixth in proximity. How do you avoid any of those? So I do like Jimmy Walker at 9,500. Also dropping down, you know, I'm going to skip over Cooch and Koepka. Don't think I'm going to have a whole lot of those two guys, but I do like Adam Scott at 9,100. Checks a box for me. He's top 10 in the field in strokes gained approach. He's a great ball striker. He's finally putting a little bit better now that he has that longer putter. And so I think Adam Scott at 9,100, I'm not going to be afraid of that price. There's a lot out there that probably – or a lot of folks out there that probably want to avoid him just because they're you know, just that kind of a – the way they're thinking about him with his putting and everything else. But you know what? I think he is – he's finally got it turned around, and so I do like some Adam Scott at 9,100.
Yeah, if you've not been paying attention, Adam Scott has gone back to the long putter, and he's, you know, apparently not anchoring it, although I think it's really hard to tell some of these.
It is sometimes extremely hard to tell.
But his putting looked better at Trinity. I watched him play on the weekend. He looked better. So we'll see. All right. I love Jimmy Walker, but I think I'm fading him this week. And you just mentioned, you know, you don't see how you can fade him. All right. Basically, I just decided I'm going to fade him because he's going to be extremely popular at the price. It's another Texas tournament. And so I just decided that first, and then I started justifying it further. So bear with me here. We obviously know his struggle with Lyme disease, and he's coming back from it, and he appears to be right back in the swing of things.
Why does that always have to come up?
This will be Lyme disease. His fifth event. His fifth event in the last 7 weeks. I could see a little wear and tear coming. I'm looking at his strokes gained off the tee numbers. He's not hitting a ton of fairways to me recently. We know that when he does gain strokes off the tee, it's usually distance. He's not going to be able to get away with spraying it on this golf course as much. His putting numbers on bent aren't fantastic. If you look on bent grass, okay, so just on bent grass, over a long period, I looked at like 50 rounds, the last 50 rounds. He's 48th in the field in strokes gained putting on bent, so he's not phenomenal on bent grass. It's not usually a surface that you find in Texas because it's so hot and you have to keep it so watered and wet. Those are the reasons. I told you that I just decided to fade him first, and then I justified it after. But those are the reasons I won't have Jimmy. I'm going to have some Matt Kuchar. I think it's a good week to jump on Kuch, although I will verify with FanShare before. A lot of people pissed off at him at Trinity for missing the cut. He was outspoken that he didn't like the golf course. He clearly loves Colonial. Gained nearly 30 strokes in the last 5 years at Colonial. I think Kuch is a good GPP play to hop back on and get him at a slightly lower ownership than we're used to seeing. And I do agree with you on Adam Scott. I think Adam Scott's a good play as well. He's gained about 12 strokes in the last 5 years here, and he's playing really well. 10th in strokes gained approach, 31st in strokes gained around the green, and the putting seems to be coming around. So for me, in the 9K, it's going to be Kuch and Adam Scott. So obviously you think my Jimmy Walker take is stupid.
No, I don't think stupid. I just think that, I mean, one of the things I talked about in the course breakdown was if you're not hitting the fairways or you may not, you know, fit the stat category there. If you look at by the way, historically, yes, like you look, like I mentioned Kiz, he was number one in the field in driving accuracy and that kind of thing. But there are some folks like John Rahm and some others who finished well in this event, but they made up for it around the green. You know, approach, that kind of stuff, and that's where Jimmy Walker falls in. He's number one in the field in strokes gained around the green. So I think that I'm not as worried about that strokes gained off the tee number or that driving accuracy number with a guy who has shown that he's blowing it out in those other categories right now, which Jimmy Walker is.
Well, I mean, but look at him. I mean, even relative to the price and where he is on DraftKings at 9,500. He's not got a tremendous course history here either. I mean, he had a T10 in 2014, T65 in 2015, and a T29 in 2016. It's not crazy for a guy who's $9,500 and who's going to be popular given the form, given the Texas deal. I mean, he's going to be popular. So a little Jimmy Walker debate. I like it. 8K range, I like a lot of guys here, as you would imagine. I mean, I picked three guys in the 10K, two guys in the 9K, so I like a lot in this 8K range. I'll let you go first so I don't name them all. So who do you like in the 8K?
Well, I think right at the top, actually, and these three guys, well, I don't know. A couple of them don't have the greatest course history, but I like Charles, I like Bryson DeChambeau, and I like Jason Duffner. You look at Bryson, he's fifth in ball striking. He's fourth in strokes gained approach. He's second in DraftKings scoring. His recent form has been absolutely off the charts, been very good. The only X I'll give him is course history. But I think I'm going to give it a pass this week on that because I don't think he's, you know, he's a guy I feel like has just made a ton of improvement this year over his last couple years on tour. So I'm okay with the lack of course history for him.
Completely agree there with DeChambeau.
Charles Schwartzel.
All right, Schwartzel withdrew. He just withdrew.
He did?
Yep.
When did he announce that?
I mean, I don't know when he announced it, but it's on Twitter like an hour ago.
So. Oh, okay. Well, then screw that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I also like Justin Duff. God, freaking A. Get it together, Pat. Jason Duffner at 8,700. The guy's been putting extremely well this year. He checks a box on ball striking. Obviously in good recent form. His course history minus last year is very good. He's gained almost 19 strokes on the field. He was T6 in 2016, had a second place finish in 2014. So I think Jason Duffner is a great play this week. And you know what? Emiliano Grillo is going to be, I think he's going to be the popular guy here at 8,600. And there's a good reason for that. But I think Duff could be a pretty good pivot play off of Grillo if you want to pivot away from him. And I can't really argue too much against Grillo. He's a guy that, I mean, this is a perfect course fit for him. Checks a box in his recent form, strokes gained approach, also ball striking, and his driving accuracy. So I'm okay with him, but I think Duff might be a good pivot from that, from Grillo.
All right, so I agree with you completely on DeChambeau. See, I don't think Duffner and Grillo are going to be pivots at all. And I think Duffner is going to be popular because of the course history. We see that as a big driver in ownership. I think Duffner and Grillo could be similar in ownership. I think the pivot plays here are below that. I think Zach Johnson's a pivot play, coming off a T75 at the Players' Championship.
Yeah, but his course history is pretty good, and he's got a win here,
it's
too.
Less than, so. It's not as good as Jason Duffner's over the last 5 years, if you look at strokes gained total.
Well, last 5 years, yeah, but go back a little bit further, and Zach won here. So I feel like people are going to see that, and weight that a little bit higher than a guy like Duff.
I just think Zach is one of the lower-owned guys in this range. I mean, I think he's lower. I bet he's lower-owned than Bryson, Duffner, Grillo, Hadley. I bet he's lower-owned than all those guys. And a guy who, you know, should fit this course profile extremely well. I'm not crazy about the price, but I don't mind him. I'm going to have some of him. I like ZJ. I like Hadley. And I like Kiz. I think Kisner loves this golf course. He loves it. He's not played great here in the last couple of weeks. He's missed his last two cuts. He missed the Players and the Wells Fargo, both tournaments that he's played well in before. But he does love this course. One, obviously, defending champ, tied for 10th in 16, tied for 5th in 2015. I feel like there's something about this place that Kisner really loves. He loves putting on bent grass. He's number two in this field over the long term in strokes gained putting on bent grass surfaces. So I think this is a good week to get a low-owned Kiz at a golf course he loves. And we'll see if he can get hot. So I do like that. And I like Xander Schauffele. He's a bomber. He's one of the bombers, but he's 7th in strokes gained putting on bent. He's 16th in strokes gained around the green in this field and the 31st in strokes gained approach. I like X-Man here. You know, made the cut his first time out here last year, finished tied for 48th, but I think he's a good option. Finished 2nd at the Players, which is a golf course, you know, you would think similar to this, maybe not as tree-lined, but a golf course where You gotta have the right angles in, and you gotta be on your game, and you gotta hit your irons well. He finished 2nd at the Players a couple weeks ago, and I could see him still being overlooked. So, to me, I'm gonna go DeChambeau. I'm probably gonna avoid Duffner and Grillo just for ownership reasons, and then I'm gonna play ZJ, Hadley, Schauffele, and Kiz, and we'll see what Fanshare has to say about ownership come Wednesday night, as far as like how I would rank those guys in GPPs. But, yeah. But there you go. If I were going to play those guys in cash, I would go Hadley and ZJ. I probably feel the best about it in cash.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, Hadley is one of those I don't know why. I just always feel like I want to avoid him because I feel like he's just going to be so popular and everybody's talking about him. But he's hard to avoid with how he's playing lately. I'm with you on Xander. You know I love some Kiz, and even though he hasn't been playing that great, when he gets on a course that he loves and he feels comfortable on, I think he's a threat every single time. So I think at 8,100, that's a great price for him. Definitely will have some Kiz in this 8K range. So there you go.
Okay.
Now we got down this below 8K range. This is there's a lot to deal with down there.
Yeah, there's a whole lot going on here. You got some defending champs. You got some members here in the 7K range. A lot going on. I'll have a hefty amount of guys here going studs and duds. But I've also got some 6K guys that I kind of like. So we'll try to narrow this down for you. I will I'll kind of start us off at the top. I think it's really tough to avoid Brian Harman. Given his course history here, he's gained nearly 25 strokes in the last 5 years. You know, he's not playing great since the Heritage. He hasn't played really, really well, but I still like him. I like the play. I think he fits up nicely for this golf course. Yeah, seventh in strokes gained putting on bent. So I think Harman is definitely in play for me. I like Adam Hadwin a ton here. I like Chris Kirk a lot. I don't like Ryan Palmer. A lot of people are going to talk about Palmer, course history. He's a member here, blah, blah, blah. No thanks on Ryan Palmer. He's too risky for me. He's just not great. So I'm going to go, if I'm looking at 7,500 and above, I'll tell you the guys who I really like the most. I like Harman. I like Hadwin. I like Kirk. I really like Cam Smith again at 7,500. That's a really good buy on Cam Smith. I think that's a tremendous value on Cam Smith.
Great scrambler, too.
Great scrambler, good ball striker. Can play if the wind does pick up, he can play it well. I think Cam Smith is an easy play, definitely a cash play for me. But another GPP play down here at 7,500 bucks. He's missed his last two cuts, is Brant Snedeker. I think... Oh, and I said it last week, and he kind of burned me, so this might be it for me. But Snedeker putts well on bent grass. He's scrambling well. He's putting well. His irons haven't been horrible. He needs to just put it all together. He's really struggled kind of just putting it all together. So I'm going to go with Snedeker, and I also feel like, you know, strokes gained rocking sweet clothing for Brant Snedeker. Do you know what that clothing happens to be there, Pat?
I could guess.
What would you guess?
Well, if there's any sweet clothing that I'm going to talk about right now, it's going to be Peter Millar.
Oh, very nice, Pat. Why are you going to talk about that right now? You like it? You a fan?
You know, it's just, you know how I am in OCD, I am and all this stuff. Like, I don't like bad materials on me, and if it's just going to ruin my day if I dress in something I don't like. But Peter Millar is just so awesome with the stuff they have. Their shirts, their pants, their shorts, everything has got this great material in it. I don't even know what the material is, but I like it.
Just,
it feels comfortable.
Just 100% goodness is what that is.
It's just a bunch of goodness. It's great, fantastic.
Yeah, and Pat is OCD AF. You guys know that. And yes, I have seen Pat not be happy with the material that rubs on his body a certain way. And if Peter Millar can get that done for him and Brant Snedeker, then gosh darn it, it's probably good enough for you. And, you know, if you're golfers, you understand who Peter Millar is. You know about the quality, the style, all that kind of stuff. It's great clothing. Right now, we're rocking the polos. We've been on a polo kick for Peter Millar. They're comfortable. They work with Pat. He doesn't get wigged out about it. They're very stylish, which we also know Pat needs a lot of help in the style department.
A lot of help.
Very easy to take care of. That's what I love about them. You take them out the dryer, you don't ever have to freaking iron them. I just put them on a hanger. And I just hang them up, and then when I go to grab them, they're there. The collar's not jacked up. There's no. It's good. It's go-to clothing, whether it's the work event, golf course, vacation, whatever. You'll always have the right look. They're great on the golf course because they also have built-in sun protection, Pat. So you can't burn your nips with a Peter Millar shirt, which is really important. That's the last thing you need is burnt nips or, you know, anything like that. So you gotta watch it. And the performance polo from Peter Millar is how you can avoid burning said nips. So right now, all you gotta do is head over to petermillar.com/tourjunkies. That's petermillar.com/tourjunkies. Check out some of our Peter Millar favorites. Be sure to use the link and you will receive complimentary shipping and a free hat to keep your face from being burned. Because if you had a burned face and burned nips, you'd be having a really bad day. So that's Peter Millar, MILLAR.com/tourjunkies. PeterMillar.com/tourjunkies. and the Brant Snedeker pick of the week, brought to you by Peter Millar. So there you go.
I like Boom. That.
Boom. Save the nips. All right, Pat. I kind of hammered my favorite guys, 7,500 and above. Who you got?
Well, I'm with you on Brian Harman. I was actually surprised that you were on Harman. I based off of kind of his recent form, which hasn't been that great, but I do like Harman. I think this is a course he should play extremely well on. I think he's a great GPP play. He's gained 25 strokes in his last four starts, so I'm totally with you on Brian Harman. Had one also, another guy that I'm with you on. You know, he is the new cut streak leader after Kuchar missed a cut last week. Did you know
that? Is he now?
Yeah, wow. He is. Impressive. And I can't remember, don't ask me to quote that number, but he has now made the most consecutive cuts on tour. If I'm wrong, somebody tell me that, but I think I'm right. Chris Kirk as well. I was surprised about that. I mean, he's obviously won here before. He's got great course history. Looking at recent form, though, I mean, he's made 9 of his last 10 cuts. He checks a box in ball striking. He's 6th in the field in scrambling. Checks a box in driving accuracy. So I love some Chris Kirk. A guy that I think, I don't know. Are we going below 7,500
yeah,
yet?
Yeah.
Or are you? Okay. I like some Nick Watney.
Me too. I got Watney circled. I like Watney.
Checks a box on driving accuracy, ball striking. His recent form has been very good. Also, strokes gained approach. I think that's a great price for him at 7,300. I will be all over that guy. You can't ever avoid Kevin Streelman in a course like this where you know it's just fairways and greens, tight, short. He's always a guy. 7,100. I mean, this is just a perfect fit for him. Checks a box in scrambling, ball striking, also proximity. So I do like some Streels at 7,100. Down at the bottom, Andrew Putnam, 7,000. Checks a box in driving accuracy, also scrambling, ball striking, and his recent form has been okay. So I like some Putnam at the bottom there at 7,000.
Streelman just seems like a misprice. I know he's missed the cut his last two events. He missed a cut at Wells Fargo. That's a big golf course for Streelman. The missed cut at the Players was a little surprising to me. Maybe it was just the stage and the strength of field. But before that, I mean, Streelman was as consistent as ever, and he was a great cut maker. At 7,100, that just seems like kind of a misprice to me. So I'll have a good bit of Streelman, but it will be interesting to see his ownership projection on FanShare Sports. Come Wednesday night. I agree with you on Nick Watney. I like the Watney call. If you watch the tournament late on Sunday, you saw JJ Spahn. I tweeted about this. JJ Spahn, we've all kind of liked him at a certain point. He battled a shoulder and elbow injury earlier in the year. He had to take a break, didn't play golf for a little bit, came back, played really well this past week at Trinity Forest. We have had tour pros on here talk about JJ being one of the best ball strikers on the PGA Tour. And in a post-round interview yesterday on Sunday, he talked to Amanda Baliones, and she talked to him about how he felt. He said he was feeling good. He was glad to be back out there. And he said, you know, I'm really looking forward to next week. Colonial's a golf course that I love. I feel like it suits my game really well. And I'm looking forward to playing it, and I'm in a good spot. And even Amanda said, oh, I hope the fantasy golfers are listening. So I think JJ at 7,400 is interesting. We'll see how much love he gets coming off the good play last week. If he gets too popular, if he's like 12% or more, I'll probably fade him. If that's the projection, I'll fade him in GPPs. I'm not really interested in that. I'd rather see a bigger sample size coming off the injury, but there you go there for JJ. I think Pat Perez at 7,300 is interesting. It feels kind of weird. I know he hadn't been playing great, but it just seems cheap for a guy like Pat Perez who could come up and have a good week and end up winning this thing. I think Sam Saunders. Now, we were on Saunders last week and he burned us, but he was one of those ones I talked about was on the bad end of the draw. He came out Thursday, fired, I think, a 6-under on Thursday. Caught the windy conditions on Friday and missed the cut by a stroke or two. And, yeah, that might have thrown some people off. But before that, at the Wells Fargo, he finished 9th. You know, I just think Saunders is a guy who he coming off that missed cut, he could pop. So I'm looking at Saunders. He's 30th in this field in strokes gained approach. He's in the top third of the field in strokes gained around the green and strokes gained putting on bent grass. I think Saunders is interesting. I think he's an interesting play. So in the 7K, that's it for me. Anybody else in the 7K for you? We ready to get to scrubs?
That's all I got. That's all I got. I don't have a ton of scrubs, but I got a couple.
All right. I have mainly two. I got two. 6,700. I think Stewart Cink is mispriced. 23rd in the field in the last 12 rounds in strokes gained approach. We know he's accurate. Form has been a little less than stellar. Missed cut, 72nd, missed cut. But finished 42nd at the Heritage, which is a similar golf course at Harbortown. So I think Cink is interesting at 67. And then I think Wesley Bryan is an interesting play. Finished 48th here last year, obviously in pretty bad form. Like Cink, has missed every cut since the Heritage, but finished 42nd at the Heritage. He took last week off. He was here in Augusta playing some practice rounds, playing a lot of golf. I don't know. I'm not saying I feel great about it. I would not play anybody here in cash, but I feel like Wesley Bryan, he loves to hit that little cut, that little butter cut. He's an accurate player. He can putt well. At the minimum price for a PGA Tour winner who's had okay tournaments here this year, I don't know. I kind of like it. So those are really the two that I like here in this range.
Now, I can't argue with you there. Mine are more of the higher end of this range, and I'll start with Ben Crane at 6,900 on DraftKings. I like him. He's top 10 in the field in fairways gained, so driving accuracy, checks the box and strokes gained approach, and strokes gained around the green. Also, proximity. You look at recent form. I mean, he was T53 at the Byron Nelson, but he had a top 15 finish at the Valero Texas Open. So I think that, you know, he's a guy, you know, when you're going under 7K, you're reaching a little bit, but I don't think he's too far of a reach. You know, he's been okay here in the past. He's made his last two cuts. He was T29 here in 2016. So I do like Ben Crane at 6,900. Chris Stroud, just below him at 6,900, is also, I think, a pretty decent pick. He's gained 22.5 strokes on the field in his last five times playing here, and three of those were top 15 finishes. That's pretty incredible for a guy who's below 7K. We saw him compete and do well at the PGA Championship last year, so I do like some Stroud this week based off of that course history, which I think is a big thing, as we talked about before. So other than that, that's really all I got here below 7K.
All right, that sounds good. We got to hit one and done, Pat. Now, I actually had a decent one and done last week with Jimmy Walker, finished sixth. That's my highest finish of the year for one and done. I'm still way behind everyone, but the momentum is there. The momentum is there. Who is your one and done pick for the week?
My one and done is going to be a guy who always frustrates me, but I like him this week. And I think that he could win here, and I think, or he's probably going to miss a cut because you know how our one and dones go. But I'm going to take some Bryson DeChambeau.
Interesting.
Is my one and done this week.
I don't mind that play. I was kind of looking at that. I think I'm going to get this guy while at least some things are clicking, and he has a little momentum with the flat stick coming off of last week. This is scary, but I'm going to take Adam Scott. I don't see myself using him without like substantial form that I see coming in. And like I said, at least right now, the ball striking is as good as Adam Scott can be. He just needs the flat stick to get hot. So I'm going to roll with Adam Scott in one and done. But I do like the DeChambeau play. I don't mind that play.
I appreciate that.
All right, I think that about does it. So you guys be sure and do all the things we told you to do in the podcast. And as always, may your screens be green. See ya!
Oh!
Get a great deal more than a great deal at the Hyundai Season of More event. More features, more technology, and more confidence because 7 Hyundai models are recognized for 2018 IIHS top safety picks when equipped with automatic emergency braking and specific headlights. At the Hyundai Season of More event, going on now. Get a new 2018 Sonata SEL, now with $3,750 total savings, or buy with 0% APR, plus $2,250 bonus cash. Call 877-616-8513 for details, or visit your local Hyundai dealer. Hyundai models named IIHS top safety picks include Santa Fe Sport models built after June 2017. Visit IIHS.org for more details.
Motivation with Amazon Music.
You're still in bed? Didn't you go running?
Oh, I overslept.
I'll go tomorrow.
I'm getting in the shower.
Alexa, set an alarm for 5 a.m. tomorrow to Hard Rock Music.
Okay, I'm up.
The right song exactly when you need it. Amazon Music, the simplest way to listen to the music you love. New customers start your 30-day free trial at amazonmusic.com. Renews automatically, cancel anytime.